You take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together this morning to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're coming down to the end of our series that we have been doing about preparing for the end of life. It's not something that people like to think about. It's not something that people meditate upon, but it's something that the Bible has called us to do, that we are prepared to meet our Lord no matter what age. It's not something you do when you get in your 60s. It's something that you've done. Did you hear me now? It's something you've already done. First of all, by being prepared eternally, having your soul in Jesus Christ so that you're ready to meet Him. But there are other things that we need to prepare for. What about the next generation? Are we thinking about them? And are we leaving anything of value behind? Not just a memorial stone in a cemetery that has your dates on it and maybe a Bible verse or a quaint saying. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a marble angel. We're not talking about maybe a marble animal that you liked, and that's your life gift at a cemetery for people to see and know about your life. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about leaving something of value behind that will live on in other people's lives. And we're going to be emphasizing this today and next Sunday as we draw this to a conclusion. And it's leaving something of value behind. I want to begin reading in verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in that holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the opportunity we have this morning to cherish Your Word by taking it into our hearts. I pray that You would give us ears to hear. There are so many wonderful things that are shared in this particular passage, and I pray that You would open our hearts to receive it, but not only just to receive it, but to apply it in our daily lives. We thank You for the testimony of Peter. And we thank You, Father, that at the end of his life, he was desirous to put the people of God into remembrance of certain truths that would set them in good stead for the future, even after Peter had passed. And I pray that we might leave behind similar truths for our young people and have a zealous desire for them and for the future generations. For I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, the best defense against error in the local church is to be a true, born-again, Bible-believing Christian. That's the best defense in the local church. A church filled with growing Christians, vibrant in their faith, is not likely to fall prey to false teachers and counterfeit narratives that are opposing biblical Christianity. Jesus said to His disciples, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of" what? "Wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves." Matthew 10 and verse 16. Christian, you are in unfriendly territory. And the worst section of the territory is religion. Let me say that again. A lot of people think, oh no, it's the cultural narrative. That's the worst thing about the world. But I want to tell you something. The enemies of the cross are found in the religious territory. They have got all kinds of narratives that they are pushing that are unbiblical. I saw on a sign just this week, a church having a vacation Bible school, and it had some catchy title to it. And the center of it was an electric guitar. And it's a narrative that they're pushing for a week with the young people about how they can know God through music. But the music is the music of the world. And they've got the electric guitar center stage as far as what kids... I want to tell you something, folks. God chose the foolishness of preaching to deliver the gospel. I know that we want to have good activities and fun activities, but when we start pushing the culture on our children and saying, this is the way you can follow Christ, that's wrong. All day long wrong. Instead of an electric guitar, there should be a cross, an empty cross, because children need to come to know that they're sinners. They're an offense to God. Did you know that? Oh, not our cute children. They're not an offense to God. The Bible says that we all are in our sinful state. But God loved us and sent His Son to bear our sin and His body on the tree. He saved us to communicate His truth, not His truth mixed with our truth. You understand the difference? He said, you communicate my truth, Paul. You communicate my truth, Peter. He didn't say, you can take my truth and you can fix it up ever how you want to fix it up. Did He give permission for us to do that? You know, it's like me being hired to come and do landscaping in somebody's yard. And they tell me what they want to do, and I look at it and I said, oh, that's all wrong. I don't like what they're wanting me to do. So I do my own thing. All right? I do my own thing. And they come back and they see that their little azalea, that all they wanted is trim, is down to the stump. What did you do? What did you do to my beautiful azalea? Oh, I know what I need to do here. I disagreed with what you had to do. Well, you didn't have that right. You didn't have that right. We have that feeling, though many people do, when it comes to the Bible. God said do it this way, but I think it should be done another way. The problem is, as the next generation sees that we're adapting to the culture, and what are they going to do? They're going to do the same thing and worse. That's why Peter was so concerned. He was zealous for the next generation, and he wanted to leave behind something of value. Now, most people, when they think about leaving behind things, they think about a will. And it's very wise to have a will. My wife and I, when we had our children and they were very small, we had a will made. So if something happened to us, we would have our children taken care of, and that they would know how we wanted them to be reared, and we put all that stuff in a document for a will. Nowadays, you know, we have so many things to leave behind, it's not possible to put everything in a will. Do you know in the state of Florida, they have what's called a personal property memorandum. And what you can do is you can come up with this document and you can list all of your possessions and who you want them to go to. Isn't that nice? Now, I don't have a whole lot to leave behind, but you know, the kids have mentioned a few things maybe that they'd like to have in the future, you know. A lot of people have a family Bible. Some people have this china set that was given to them by their great-grandparents, and they want to leave it behind. So, you know, the will can get really long and really big. So what the state of Florida allows you to do is just make a reference in your will to your personal property memorandum, and then you can have all the things listed in this little separate document. It becomes legal because it's mentioned in your will, and you can have this long list, and everybody can be happy after you die. Right? Is everybody going to be happy after you die? They left that to who? I told Mama years ago I wanted that. And she told me I could have it. Okay, well, the document says it's going to Uncle Bubba. He's going to get it. Oh, you know how people get all twisted up? So many times we lose sight of what's true and what's purposeful and what's important in life. All right? Because by the way, one day somebody else is going to get your stuff. All right? It's going to be given. Mrs. Peppert has known that over the past 6 months or so, going through all of the stuff that Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs had in their house. And did you keep everything, Mrs. Peppert? No, it was farmed out. And I'm still getting stuff. You know, pictures and things about the early days of the ministry. We got the plans this week for the house that they built, and stuff that was just stored away and nobody knew where it was located and things of that nature. But, you know, we have things that we want to leave behind to those. But let me ask you something. Have you left behind a personal, spiritual memorandum? Now think with me just a moment. What in the world is he talking about? A personal, spiritual memorandum, because that's exactly what Peter did in this passage of Scripture. He put together some things that he wanted them to remember. He wanted them to keep in mind. He had nothing physical to give them. But he had plenty of spiritual things to give to those that would hear and listen. I want you to see three motives behind Peter's end-of-life ministry. Number one, and this comes from verse 12, obedience to Christ's command. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent. Now, we all know what negligence is. That's when you're supposed to do something and you don't do it. All right? And he wanted them to remember some things. He didn't want to be negligent and not sharing with them. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. It was obedience that led him. What was the job of a preacher? Well, Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season and what? Out of season. You know, preachers have to be instant out of season as well as in season. It almost sounds like a hunting trip, you know, for preachers. You know, we got in season, we got out of season. But for the preacher, we have to be ready to preach the word. Preach, pray, or die. That's what we were told in seminary. You got to be ready. I still to this day carry sermons in the back of my in my Bible, so I'll have them ready to go. Notes, things of that nature, and guess I get called upon. You know, you never know when you're going to be called upon. And Peter said, I want to be obedient to God's commands in my life. I must share with the next generation important things that will keep them on the straight and narrow. Don't you want that for your children? Don't you want them to stay on the straight and narrow? We live in a day where some parents just don't care anymore. They're not the least bit interested, and it's proven by the way they live their lives. But not the believers. Believers have a desire for their children. They want them to walk with Christ. They want them to follow Jesus Christ. And Peter said, I want to be obedient. Secondly, he said, I want to do the right thing. Verse 13. Yea, I think it meet. That's that phrase there. I think it meet. I think it right is the word there. As long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I love that phrase, to stir you up. You know what it's a picture of? I've watched a few videos over the years of mother eagles. When it comes time for the little eaglets to learn how to fly, you know how they do it? Oh, they're so easy and gentle with them. They actually, the mother will get up to the edge and will boot them out. And here's this fledgling bird in free fall. And the eagle mother will come up underneath them, pick them right up on the top of her back, pull them right back up to the top again, boom, right back over again. And before long, the eaglet says, this is getting old really quick. What are these things for? And they start flapping them. Whoo! 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 They're excited, but they're still in free fall because they haven't gotten that there. So mama eagle comes up underneath them, whoop, picks them right back up, takes them back up again. And they do practice runs all the time. And the eaglets come back after 2 or 3 days of that and said, "Hey, Bubba, you know what I did today? I made a complete circle." "Did you do that?" "Yeah, I did that. I did two." And then all of a sudden, the nest starts busting apart because mama eagle is tearing it up. She will take that nest and she will just scatter it everywhere with her beak, pulling it all apart. Now, with love, she had put that nest together. She had spent a lot of time gathering sticks, gathering little trinkets that would be inside, colorful things that she had found, ribbon that she had interwoven between the nest and so forth. But now she's tearing up. "Hey, what's mama doing?" And she said, "Kids, over here. This is not home anymore. You can make your own." "What?" "Yeah, you go make your own." Now, that the word that's used there for stir up literally means to break apart. That's what Peter was doing. "Are you kidding me? Breaking apart?" Yeah, we have that in our lives if we're going to be worth anything for God. He said, I think this is the right thing to do. I'm going to stir you up before I leave so that you'll remember these things. You know, it's always things that happen, certain things. How many of you can remember where you were when 9/11 took place? I don't think I've met a person yet that didn't remember where they were. I was down at Milton Computers. I was standing behind the counter. I was picking up a computer that we had repaired. And Mr. Cornett said, "Todd, come back here." I walked around the corner. All of his staff was gathered around a TV. As I walked up there, the second plane went into the side of the tower there. And it was just like, what is happening? What is happening? And I said, "I got to get back up to the school." So I picked up the computer. I got back up to the school. And we started hearing they were shutting down airlines. NAS Whiting Field was shutting down. Parents were coming to get their kids. I mean, it was an astounding day, September the 11th, 2001. It's embedded in my memory, and I'm sure in yours, that are old enough to remember what happened on that day. Some of you can remember December the 7th, 1941, when the announcement came over by the President of the United States, President Roosevelt, and said Pearl Harbor has been bombed in an unprovoked attack by the Japanese. People living in that era, it's embedded in their memory. And many of you could go through other important events that have happened in recent history. It's embedded in our minds because of the tragedy or the stirring up of the moment. It leaves an indelible mark in the brain. And that's what Peter wanted to do. Number three, he was zealous for the next generation. And this is what I want you to see in verse 15. "Moreover, I will," and there's just a key word right here, "endeavor." "Endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." "I'm going to be leaving soon," Peter says. "I'm going to be ushered into heaven." He would have to go through a very cruel death. But he wanted to leave something behind of value. He wanted to leave something for the next generation. Some people want to leave things behind for the next generation. But I want to tell you something. There's something way more important, and that's a spiritual heritage. Amen? A spiritual heritage. That's what Peter says. After my decease, when I'm gone, I want you to remember these things. He was zealous. That's the idea of endeavor. It means to go after a project with zeal. Everybody wants to have a worker that is zealous about their job. We've all seen people. We've sat in grocery stores with unzealous people checking you out. All right? Moving at a snail's pace. All right? And then, we got a mistake here. We need to get the manager. Hold on just a second. Click. Walk over to the office. 5 minutes later, come back. That happened to me, by the way, 2 weeks ago. They came walking back. "The manager's not available right now." I said, "Well, who's on the floor?" Who else can do it? Oh, I forgot. There is somebody over there. I said, you know, you have this little thing you can pick up and dial to get them in here. Oh, mine doesn't work. How wonderful for me. It doesn't work, you know. Finally, the person came over there. They had it all done and they were gone. Okay, now we can do you. And when I stood there, it just was trying to find the barcode. You know, have you ever felt like I can do this myself? All right? I can do this myself. Beep, 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 beep. I'm out the door. But some people are just unzealous. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You've met unzealous people, unzealous workers, unzealous people that would just, if they would just go away and somebody else would come, would be a great blessing. Not Peter. Endeavor. It's the idea of going after a project with all my zeal. I want to leave you something, Peter says. And I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to be zealous about this work because I'm concerned about the next generation. Lord willing, next Sunday we're going to get into three things that he shared. But I want you to think with me as we close this message this morning. What am I leaving behind of value? I know you may have your personal property memorandum. You've got it all laid out. Who's going to get what? Who's going to get this and who's going to... But in reality, that's not the important thing you should be leaving behind. Those are just things that one day, the Bible says, are going to be burned up. Every precious thing that we hold dear in our lives, and I feel for people that have house fires and lose all of the pictures and lose all the valuables that they've kept throughout life, but then they find out, I'm still here. I'm alive. My family are still alive. What truly mattered is still here. Can we live without those things? The answer is, yes, we can. And if you cannot, something is wrong about that problem there. You got a problem if you can't live without your things. We have to say goodbye to a lot of stuff over time. Whenever I get into those reminiscent moments, thinking about whenever I was a kid, I had a favorite bike whenever I was a kid. It belonged to my older brother Doug, and it was handed down. It had a gear shift, a 5-speed gear shift. It had a banana seat. Some of you kids don't know what I'm talking about. How many of you remember the banana seats? Had the big high bar on the back, and you leaned back on that thing and you pedaled. And if you wanted to really go fast, you put it in 5th gear. Now, it didn't move on its own. You had to pedal like crazy to get it up fast. But it had slicks on the back of it. And I think about it. I wonder where that bike is. Okay? I guarantee nobody's riding it today. That bike is long gone. Almost 50 years have passed since that bicycle. Oh, I had a lot of toys and stuff growing up. They're all gone now. They're just things. We have a lot of things in our personal property memorandum. But I want to tell you something. You better get busy on your personal spiritual memorandum and leave something behind. As we're going to see, Peter's got some valuable things he wants to leave behind with the next generation after he's gone. How about you? Do you have a similar desire about your children and about your grandchildren, that you can leave them something of greater value that will last for all eternity? That's the desire that Peter had, and it should be our desire today. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of Peter. Boy, he had a heart for the next generation. He didn't want to just die. He wanted to leave behind things for the next generation to remember that were of value. His personal obedience to Christ would be a witness. His desire to do the right thing would be a witness. His endeavor, his zealous desire to put them in remembrance of these things would be remembered by the next generation as they look back on the life of Peter. And Lord, I pray that as we unfold this passage of Scripture, that we might take to heart these things that we should leave behind for our kids. If we leave behind them physical things, those will all wear out and one day be lost. But if we leave behind spiritual verities, those will never wear out. Those will be things that will keep them in good stead for the remainder of their life and for all eternity. Lord, I pray that we might be desirous to leave things behind that have value. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.